Lord, we ask right now that your Holy Spirit invade the space here in the sanctuary, the space within our hearts, that any distractions that we may be experiencing, any other thoughts that may deter us from your truth and from the power of your Spirit, that you will clear those thoughts away at this time. Open the doors wide, the doors to our heart, that you can come in and speak to us in a way that only you can. We ask that you bless the reading of the word this morning, that it become more than just ink on paper for us, but that your truth emerges from the gospel message. Bless this time we have with each other and with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If you were to look at the modern calendar, you will notice that every single month of the year, there is at least one day there set aside for celebrating something. We are a culture that likes to celebrate, and there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we celebrate things we don't even understand. When I was growing up and I would celebrate Columbus Day, I thought it was because I lived in Columbus, Georgia. I was much older when I realized they actually celebrate that day in other cities too. We like to celebrate, but followers of Christ have more reason to celebrate than anyone else. Everything takes on a new meaning for us. Now, sometimes when we think about Christianity, we may get the wrong idea that it's all about being sour and dour and solemn and putting on this face of repentance. And it's true that we need to reflect on our own mortality and on our own sins and our own imperfections. But we see those sins and those imperfections through a certain scope, through a certain lens, knowing that Christ gives us freedom from those weaknesses. So that is cause to celebrate. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating. Jesus celebrated. All through the Gospels, we hear about him going to weddings, going to banquets, parties, feasting, eating at other people's homes. Even when he told his parables, he would talk about weddings and banquets and feasts. There was nothing wrong with celebrating at all to him. It was an expression of joy. It was an expression of community within the fellowship around him. And so it is with us as followers of Christ. Celebrations take on a much more meaningful tone for Christians. Thanksgiving Day is a day where all across America people count their blessings and they think about how thankful they are, but we realize the source of our blessings. We realize who it is that we should be thanking. Christmas Day is a fun time for everyone, for sure, with all the celebrations and decorations and Santa Claus and the gifts. But for Christians, we know the true meaning of Christmas, and we celebrate it as the birth of Jesus Christ. Even Valentine's Day, we talk about love and how much we care for our loved ones. But as Christians, we recognize that God is love, and that any love we experience from others is His love coming through them to us. St. Patrick's Day is a day where everyone likes to pretend that they're Irish. And a lot of people use it as an excuse to go out and party and drink. But the reality is St. Patrick was an evangelical to the people of Ireland. And so as Christians, when we think about that day, it should inspire us to evangelism. Good Friday is a day that gets glossed over by the secular world. It means nothing to them. For us, it is a time of atonement, a time of repentance, a time for us to reflect and ponder what Christ did for us on the cross. And speaking of atonement, I was recently reading an online forum about, it was all these other theologians and Christians and pastors, and they were all arguing at what point in Christ's life Do we experience atonement? What is the day, the one event that we should celebrate above all? It was an interesting conversation. Some people said that it was the birth, that it was Christmas, because that is when God broke in to this realm, when He became a human for us. And that was God's invasion into the physical world. And that is where our atonement is. Some people said, no, it's in the life of Christ and the teachings and His parables and the way we follow Him as Master. Well, the thing about that is, if our atonement was simply in the birth of Christ, then when Herod ordered for all the children two and under to be slaughtered, Jesus could have gone with them. His existence did not atone for our sins. That was not enough. And His teaching and His life, His moral example, did not atone for our sins. If that was the case, then there are many other wise teachers and leaders. Every religion has a figure who was enlightened. But none of them, through all their teaching and through all their wisdom, could atone for our sins. So then you had people say, okay, well, it's His death that atones for our sins. It's the crucifixion where He took our sins upon Himself. And then you had another group that said, no, all of that is irrelevant because the resurrection is where it's at. When Christ came back to life, that's when we know He actually defeated our sins. The truth of the matter is, it all works together. The life of Christ, the entire story, is what we must believe, what we must pursue. Because our atonement is in God breaking through into the physical world. It is in the wisdom, the truth, and the teachings of Jesus. But it is also in that dying on the cross, where He bore the penalty for our sins. And then finally, that atonement comes in the resurrection, where it is defeated once and for all. All of these things, all of these events work together. And they are all calls for us to celebrate. Now, it's said by many people that we are Easter people, and that is true. But what does that mean for us to be Easter people? That means that our hope, our purpose, everything we have to look forward to, everything we rely on, it hinges on that final event. Because all the other things in the life of Christ were important. They were vital, but they would have all been irrelevant if He had not rose from the dead. In doing that, we find purpose and we find meaning in everything else. That's what it's all about. Followers of Christ have hope that the world does not. It changes our perspective. It changes the way we view things. We see things through a totally different lens than the secular world does. And when we see things in this way, we start to see the truth emerge from even the simplest things. This morning at the sunrise service, I talked for 5 minutes about an egg and the truth and the wisdom that can be found just by looking at an egg. And that sounds silly, and it probably is, but it's because of the hope that we have in Christ that we can look at these things, these mundane things, and be reminded of the truth that He reveals to us. And He reveals it to us in His Word, but He reveals it to us in the day-to-day things as well. Our worldview, our perspective is entirely changed because of the resurrection. Even in our challenges, even in our pain, even in grief, and even in death, we are Easter people. That sounds foolish to the non-believing world. And it's a hard thing to say, and sometimes it's a hard thing to believe. But it's true. We have hope even in our darkest hours because of Easter. We believe in eternal life because of the resurrection. We have hope because of Jesus' victory over death. Seasons come and seasons go. Morning comes and night comes. Spring comes and winter comes. We experience sorrow in our lives and we experience celebration. But through it all, no matter what we are experiencing, we carry with us the promise of resurrection. We carry with us the hope of Easter. That's what the life of Christ was all about. It's what the resurrection is about. It's what today is about. Let us pray. Lord, so often we forget to celebrate because we get distracted by the many things going on around us. But we ask that You help us to see through the scope of Easter, that all the things that we experience in our life, the ups and downs, the joys and the pains, that they are all experienced as we carry the hope of the resurrection with us. We ask that as we reflect on these things today, that You continue to speak to us and You continue to bless us through the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The service of Holy Communion is